Blog Talk Radio.
Loud and proud. On the East Coast. Number to call in, 347-637-3220. My name is JT. The host of the show, which is the No Chaser show, is Mac Williams. And this is how we roll, loud and proud.
That's right, loud and proud. How about South Beach? Loud and proud. We got an ass kick last night. We got finessed last night.
And let me tell you something. And about that, they're a star power forward / small forward was sitting on the sidelines watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it won by 20.
Yeah,
20.
Absolutely. Yep.
They lose against the one and whatever Wizards, and then come back and lose against the Knicks. Hello.
That's like I said last night on Facebook. That's not a fluke. That's a trend.
Mm-hmm.
That is a trend. They got their butts kicked, and I love it. But nobody's scared of them. And you know, I just like I said, I enjoyed them getting their ass beat because the simple fact is. The Heat got it handed to him last year. I don't care what nobody say.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this year, now that LeBron got his one, the rest of them he's going to have to earn. And if he don't have the right cast around him, he's not going to earn it. And I think Dwayne Wade is not the Dwayne Wade of old. I think this is broken down the way Dwayne Wade, I just think he's not the same guy anymore. I mean, this guy's always hurt the last few years. He's always hurt every year. I mean, he never has stays healthy a whole time. And like I said, I don't care how great LeBron is. If he don't have Dwayne Wade, that makes his job that much harder. We might as well say it's Cleveland all over again. Because without Dwayne Wade, it's Cleveland all over again. It's one guy doing everything. You know the way it's going to shift to him, and that ain't what LeBron wanted. You know, LeBron wanted to go somewhere where he was going to have help. You know, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not predicting the demise of the Heat. They're still going to be a tough out, but I just think part of being an NBA champion. Especially after you win it the first year, is the fear factor. You know, teams usually are, you know, scared to play you. You get their best game, but sometimes you get that best game because they fear you, not just because of who you are. And everybody wants to test themselves. And, you know, you have to understand, when you don't have pressure on you, sometimes you play better. I mean, what did the Wizards have to lose? If they lost, everybody would have said, so what? Ho-hum, went back to bed, I'm gone. Turned TV off, they bums. When they came, but when they beat them, then everybody kept saying, well, it's because, you know, they were looking forward to the next night. And, you know, I never bought into that because I was like, yeah, but champions beat teams they're supposed to beat. You beat everybody in front of you. You don't.
Exactly.
I mean, not let me balance that with saying that, you know, every team's going to lose a game they should. And you're going to have a hiccup. But when you have a team like the Heat, you shouldn't have – here's my thing. If you're going to get beat, you shouldn't be getting beat by 2 and 3 points. You know, most times when you have a championship team and they get beat, they get blown out.
Mm-hmm.
When they get beat by a team, they shouldn't by like 10, 15 points. It's like, okay, you just knew it just wasn't your night. But when you lose by 2 or 3 to a team that's only won one game, it's terrible. And you have all these – athletes on your team. To me, that speaks to your effort. That speaks to you're not concentrating. That speaks to you're not into it. So when they lost to them, I knew. I was like, they're not focused. So now you come back the next night, and you don't get just beat by the Knicks. You get blown out again. It's a repeat of game one. They didn't even let the Celtics do that to them.
And it surprises me because the fact is, you know, the first game of the season that the Knicks played, they played the Heat, and they blew the Heat out by 20 in Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the Heat have the Knicks at home with their star players sitting on the bench.
Yep.
You would think they would have a maximum effort and not get blown out. I think the final count in the fourth quarter was like 27-7 or something
mm-hmm.
crazy. So there's no explanation for that. There's nothing you can say if you're a member of the Miami Heat team from LeBron on down that can explain the lack of effort in the fourth quarter when it counts.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, but again, you have to understand, you got a guy who's got two championships. You got a guy who just got one. And
mm-hmm.
everybody got one. And
mm-hmm.
every team goes through this. I'll be honest with you, every team went through this. Even the Pistons, when they went back-to-back, they went through this. But
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, they didn't – I would be very surprised if I could look back at the Pistons and find out where they got smacked and blown out by a team twice, at home and away, in the same year. You know, I just – like I said, they didn't even let the Celtics do that. And that's what got me the most is I was like, it wasn't the Celtics. It was – I mean, they didn't let the Celtics do this. Remember, the Celtics blew them up open last season,
sure.
the opening of the season, came right back and smacked them.
Right.
You know, gave them a lesson. And
right.
now you let a team. But this speaks to me, a deeper issue. The Heat have always – they what I saw last night in the game, I'll give you my analysis. What I saw in the game last night was the Miami Heat come out with a strong defensive effort like they always do. But they did – to the Heat what most teams should be doing to them, and that is the one thing that is their neutral line. They have two things that hurt the Heat. One is they still don't have a legit big man, and I've been saying this ever since LeBron went there. I said the Heat never had a big man. That's always been their Achilles heel. They never have a big man. Last year they got away with it because it was handed to them. I don't care what nobody says. Some of them calls and that stuff they gave them, that's fine. But what I'm saying is they didn't have a center. And to be honest with you, the Thunder don't have a real center anyway. And I was just talking to somebody the other day who was trying to tell me all these talents of what's his name, Perkins. And I kept telling him, to me, Perkins is a liability. Yes, he can play defense. Yeah, he's a mean-looking guy. Yeah, he has an attitude, but he can't score. If you pull him 15 feet away from that basket, he's null and void. Because if he ain't dribbling and banging into somebody and getting close to the basket, he's of no good. But anyway, I digress. I personally think that the ball – and the second thing is the ball movement. Ball movement, and they don't have a center. That's what I saw last night. I saw the Knicks move the ball around. They did the same thing to the Heat that Heat does to everybody else. We'll move the ball around until we get you to move. And as soon as you're not there or you lose a guy or a guy sits on that three, we're going to make you pay. They did exactly to the Heat what the Heat do to everybody else. You spread them out, you use ball movement, and that's really what they did. That was as simple as that. And Miami didn't keep up their defensive intensity the whole game, and when they were getting their head blown out, they never – I mean, I didn't see nobody – to be honest with you, I didn't see one person get mad. I didn't see one person curse. I didn't see nobody looking distraught. I didn't see anything. I didn't see no urgency in them at all. I just saw it as, we'll turn it on. You know, at some point, somebody's going to – it's almost like they're waiting for somebody to do something spectacular, a dunk, or a defensive effort or something, and then it's like now everybody jumps up and now the energy starts flowing. But it don't work that way. I mean, any and everybody knows it don't work. It don't work that way. You can't turn it on and turn it off. Too many teams have tried. Most have failed. You can't turn it on and off.
Well,
so,
whose fault is that? Is that the players or is that the coach?
Both.
Okay.
Because everybody, what is the cliche, which is true, is we lose it as a team, we win as a team.
Right.
Now here's the thing. If I saw, and I can only go by what I see, it's not fair for me to go and say, well, I think it's, I can't go by because I wasn't in the crowd. But if I saw the coach, you know, getting in people's faces, if I saw the coach say, hey, look, there's some urgency, I need more defense, I need this, I need that. If I had saw him going to the bench and putting in different guys, sitting guys down who weren't giving the effort, whatever, even if you're superstar players, then I would have probably blamed the players a little bit more. But if you're keeping the same guys out there in the same rotation and they're not giving you the defensive effort, I mean, at some point you got to make a change. At some point you got to do something. You can't just sit there and just, you know, you can't sit there and just be like, okay, it is what it is, and you just can't do that. I mean, this is too vital of a game. This takes your pace for the next few days, for the next few games.
Well, my question is this then. Do you think the coach is afraid of certain players on the team are ruffling some feathers, that he won't sit somebody down that's not giving what the type of effort he's looking for?
In Spoelstra's case, I won't say that, because I would have said that the first year when he took him over.
Right.
But they've been through the wars, and I've seen Spoelstra. I mean, Spoelstra dances a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody thinks for one moment that he ain't got Pat Riley behind him, his back behind him, they're sadly mistaken.
Right.
This is not a case of Brown with the Lakers.
Right.
This is a case of a general manager and you know, who's firmly in charge, for one. The owner is firmly behind him, and he's behind Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm.
And he supports Spoelstra. Do I think, and Pat Riley has enough respect and enough of a resume that he can, you know, he can, I think, I put it like this, I think Riley is the only one who can go in there and say things to those guys where they wouldn't even flinch. It would be like, okay, I hear you. But with Spoelstra, I think he has the power, and he's backed up, because I mean that's fine. But then again, like I said, Spoelstra's not a guy. But when have we ever seen Spoelstra really, 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 really get mad? When have we really, really seen Spoelstra look like he really? I mean, he does, he cares, but I haven't really seen him. You know, when have you seen him have a real controversy with? I mean, yeah, he's had a little jar with Dwayne Wade or what have you, stuff like that. But I mean, you know, it's a balance thing with him. You know, he's smart. He's not going to go all the way out there and just, you know, flip on out. But at the same time, who would blame him if you're getting your butt kicked? I mean, who's going to say something to you? The owner's going to fire you? Is he going to fire you? This is a big game. This is a premier team in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And I just think they have more talent. I think the Knicks, if they do what they're supposed to, I think they have more talent. Or just as much talent. I wouldn't say more. I say only reason why I would say more is because they have Tyson Chandler, and they don't have nobody that can go against Tyson Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody in the paint to bang with him, even though he wasn't the real problem. But here's the thing: you blow out a team without Shumpert and without Carmelo, that's a hell of a statement.
Sure it is.
And I mean, think about think about this: what would have happened had they had those two in the game?
And it's on the home court. That's not
right.
That's,
and I'm saying it would have been a worse loss to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How can you get beat on foreign soil or foreign court, like MSG in New York,
mm-hmm.
and then come back knowing this team blew you out the first time,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, well, they don't have their star player, so we got to play, and we got to beat this team to make a statement like, you're not, this is our turf, we're the world champions, you haven't staked a claim to anything yet, on the home court, and the results are the same. They get blown out by 20.
Mm-hmm.
Without the star player,
yeah.
And like you say, Shumpert. So
right.
the roster was depleted. Their offense was depleted, but it didn't make a difference. They still, the result
right.
was the same.
Right. And that's why – but I also think that maybe they just took the game – for granted, because he wasn't in the game. I mean, that's the only other thing I can think of.
Yeah,
I mean,
wow.
I'm trying to think, but to me it's just – you know what it is? It's just, like I said, I've always said, defense, is always about defense. Is always about effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about defense. Is about effort. You know, I don't think you have to have a particular skill to play defense. It's called I get in front of the guy. You're not gonna get what you want. That's it. But at the same time, you know, they got beat, and there's nothing anybody can say about it. There's no excuses for it, you know, because you had all your guys. You know, the only way you had an excuse, I would have gave them an excuse if they didn't have Dwayne Wade maybe missing or, you know, somebody else. But, and I don't care what nobody say. What they're getting out of this so-called bragging and all the stuff they were doing about getting Ray Allen, I don't see it paying off. I mean, I see him saving their butt sometimes, but I don't see him, you know, just being that guy that just buries you. And to be honest with you, he's doing the same thing. What's the boy name from Duke? He's doing the same thing he's doing.
Okay. Hey, Mac, I know that things got heated last week with a certain person, and that certain person happens to be on the line again, Macau.
I don't have a problem with Macau. Macau brings too much to the table. He's a good guy, he just likes to challenge. That's him. That's just him. I know. When you know how a person is, you know how to deal with him. You just know.
Well, I'm gonna bring him in, and we're gonna find out what he has to say.
Okay.
Welcome, Macau. How you be?
Hail to the rescue! Hail victory!
I knew he was gonna come on here talking about
Jack on
the
Wolfpack. We like that with RG3.
My man.
I'm not gonna say nothing because I have nothing to say.
You don't have to say nothing.
They beat the Giants.
You don't have to say nothing. RG3
did
all the talking.
Because
right.
I'm not
he
worried about
it. Talking.
Good.
He did all the talking.
He's
never
right
a dull moment. Never
he's
a dull
right
moment.
Yeah.
Redskin moment. No problem.
How y'all doing
no
this
problem
evening?
I'm doing great because eventually down the road.
Sir, hold on, sir. I was talking to Jerry. You know, I have a lot of respect for Jerry because Jerry makes these shows. You know, he is the glue that keeps everything together. He is what makes the rubber meets the road. You know,
you and Victor
are on some other type stuff. I don't know what in the world y'all got going on. And I feel sorry for my cousin because you know he's a blood relative. He's a blood relative, and I don't know what in the hell is wrong with him. But to his credit, he did sound like himself when he was at the game. So you know, maybe he'll come back around, but. How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing well, my man. How you be?
Good.
And I just want to say to you, sir, that there is only one great team in the state of Texas. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I pick well.
Yes, sir.
I pick
mm-hmm
well.
Yes, you do.
Knowledge
yes
is power.
Yes, you do.
I will say this.
What's up?
Since y'all having a love fest, I hate to break this to you.
Go ahead.
Patriots gonna be dead ass.
Oh, Mac.
That's my prediction. And that has nothing to do with you or Macau. That's what I thought anyway. So you know me.
You know, no problem. I have no problem. You know what? I'm glad you said that because I'm going to be able to come back just like Macau and gloat when my team smacks that Patriot ass.
I hope they
right
do. Whether they do or they don't, it doesn't bother me because I'm just giving a prediction based on based on talent, based on the positions. I mean, that's the only way I'm giving it to you. I'm not doing it out of whatever else. I don't care because when it's not my team, I don't really care. And even if it was my team, I wouldn't care. You know, because I call my team what it really is.
Jerry, he's just saying that. He's just saying that because your team beat his team. So you know how he do.
Yeah. Nothing bad about that.
You know, he's just wishing you something
is,
on to get back.
No. Let's straighten this out. For one, and just remember this. I don't care if my team wins or loses because I know what my team is. I know whether they win, and I know what they really are. The difference is what bothers McCall is that McCall and them always look to say bad things about my team, and they think that somehow that bothers me. But I already know what they are. So they're not informing me of anything new. They're informing me of the same thing I already said. So, and that bothers me.
Mac, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. How can you, as a fan of your team, not care whether they lose? That doesn't make
any
sense to me.
Because, no. What I mean by that, well, let me straighten out. What I mean by that is, if they lose, I'm never surprised because they're not that good. I've been sitting here saying this for the whole year, and you can ask Vic. I told him. They can't stop anybody.
Saying,
that's what happened. That is exactly what happened last game. I said they can't stop nobody. Their secondary is some garbage. So when I watched the game, and I knew they were going to lose the game because I knew with 8 seconds left, these fools are going to miss what they're supposed to do, and they're going, the secondary is terrible, and they're going to score. When they scored, I wasn't surprised. I laughed. I was like, with 8 seconds left, this is what they do. They lose because they can't stop anybody. The difference is I'm not like most NFL fans who get in their feelings about their team to the point where they get mad or they celebrate over or they overextend themselves or start saying, you know, they're going to win the Super Bowl when they get one or two wins. I'm not like that. I keep it real. If I'm going to talk about Houston, if I'm going to talk about the Patriots, if I'm going to talk about anybody, I'm going to tell you why and tell you the mismatch as to why. I'm not going to just say it because I don't like them. Just like I say, the Redskins are doing great. Good. But in the end, they're going to be at home one way or the other. Either through they're going to make the playoffs by luck of huck and fall in or backwards in, and they're going to win maybe a game. Maybe they won't, and they'll lose. They won't win the Super Bowl, so I have nothing to worry about.
My thing is this. Being a fan is short of fanatic. You don't sound like you're fanatic about your team. You sound like you're a casual fan.
No, I am. I'm born and raised. But here's the difference.
I missed what you said, Jerry.
Excuse me. This is my show. Wait a minute. What I'm saying to you, Jerry, is that it's not. I'm not a person who is going to be fanatical over something that I already know they're not good. Why? I want them to win. Don't get me wrong. I want my team to win. I would love to see my team win a Super Bowl. I would love to see all that. But I'm real about my team. How can you sit and act like your team is better than what they really are? I'm not that type of person. Maybe with you it's different. But for me, I have a passion. But the difference is I don't let my passion go too far. I don't let people control my emotions by saying things about my team because I agree. If I agree with you, I'm agree with you. If I don't, I'm going to tell you why. But I'm not fanatical. I'm not going to go out and paint my body and act silly, act stupid. But, yeah, I want the Lions to win. But if they suck, they suck. I'm going to call it what it is. Do I want them to be better?
This sounds like a totally different gentleman than I had the first pleasure of having the first conversation with when he specifically told me that he didn't care who was in the front office. He just cares that they win. That's exactly what you said.
I don't care who's in the front office, I just care that they win. I do want them to win, but I'm not gonna sit here's my point. I'm not like Redskin fans. You guys win two games
Wait a minute, Mac.
Since you went there, I'm gonna show you a good example. Since we have Afros and bell bottoms, these bums have not won nothing. But every year when they win 2-3 games, they
these
get on Facebook, they talk trash. They say, we going to the Super Bowl, we the best, we this, we that. They walk around in their delusional fog all damn year,
wow.
And then they end up being disappointed. And I'm just saying, I'm not going to sit there and act like that. If we have a bum quarterback, I'm going to call it what it is. If we have a bad running back, I'm going to call it what it is. I'm not an unrealistic fan. I want my team to win. I want us to be good. Are we good offensively? You damn right. We're number two in the league. Defensively, are we any good? Hell no. We can't stop a cold. We just can't. That's why I'm. Did you hear me? Let me ask you this, Jerry. Jerry, did I predict that you guys were going to beat us on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, you did.
Thank you. And that's because I kept it real, because I knew you guys had more talent, you guys had more defense, you guys had were doing better than we were, and I saw it every week. I got NFL Sunday ticket. I watch it. I know what y'all look like. And I'm sitting here looking at the matchups going like, there's no damn way we're going to beat them. If we do, it'll be because they beat themselves. It's not because of us. But that doesn't mean I'm not passionate about the Lions. That doesn't mean I don't love my Lions or love what they. You think I like the fact that we had a running back here that was supernatural for 10 years and we couldn't put a line in front of this dude, that we couldn't put a decent quarterback in front of this dude to help him out? You think I like that? No, I don't. You think I wasn't mad about that? You damn right I was mad about that. But at the same time, you'd have caught me back then and said, are you guys going to win against Dallas or are you going to win against this team? I'd have told you hell no, unless they have a whole bunch of yards and they just go crazy. I'm just real about my team. I'm not delusional like Redskins fans. I'm or any other fan that
see,
you know.
See,
I'm just
that,
not.
And see, and this is where I have the issue with you, sir. You say you have this passion for your team, but I hear an equal amount of passion, anti-sentiment, which is reflective of a lot of these transient people here in Washington that kind of just gang up on. Washington, the city, and the teams that are here, and I naturally take issue to it. So
right.
The thing that you said, we haven't won anything since Bell Bottoms or whatever. We won on Thanksgiving, so hey, it is what it is.
Okay,
I would venture to say
but
that
like
we
I
have
said,
more
go
wins
ask
on
anybody, go ask,
than
go
the
ask
Lions
the other
do.
31, go ask the other 30, what is it, 32 teams? Go ask the other 31 teams in the league.
I'm not
if
concerned
everything
with
they
the
did,
other 32
wait a minute, if everything
teams
they did
the
last
league.
Year and didn't win a championship, ask
I'm
them
not,
what does it mean to them.
I'm not concerned with the other 32 teams in the league.
Yeah.
I'm concerned
so everything
with
you
the
everything you so
I'm
you win Thanksgiving,
the
great.
Washington
win a
Red.
Super Bowl,
yeah, that's what,
win the Thanksgiving
that's what I'm
game
concerned
will mean
with.
Something. Right. Well, Thanksgiving will mean something when you win a Super Bowl. Otherwise, when you lose
no,
and you're
no,
out
no,
there
no, no.
watching somebody
it
else,
it
won't
no,
it mean
means
nothing.
To, it means something to me because
good.
Our team won
good.
On Thanksgiving
good.
And your team didn't.
I don't
it's
care.
It's just the fact.
I don't care. We
that's
could, we weren't going to win on Thanksgiving. We
fact.
Had a better team in front
Straight
of us.
Fact.
The problem with you is that you keep thinking by repeating it over and over again that somehow it's going to make an effect or somehow I'm supposed to go, oh, my God, he's talking about my team. I don't care because I call it what it is. They're
no,
not good.
I'm not repeating it for
yes,
some
you are. You
effect.
Just repeated it like
I'm
for the fourth time
it.
In the conversation.
No, I'm not repeating it for an effect. I'm repeating it because it's a fact.
But
you know,
I already said that's a fact, so you're just good. We're in agreement. Good, we're in agreement.
What I'm doing is offering a rebuttal to what you said. We haven't won anything
okay.
since Afros and
good.
Because,
good.
Like
but
I
see,
said,
that's, see, that's
like
the difference.
Said,
you have to get
you,
right.
you have a lot
you have to get a rebuttal.
Rhythm.
I don't.
You have
I don't
a lot
need a
of rhythm, and you spend a lot of energy hating the Redskins.
Oh,
you
yeah,
spent a lot of energy doing that.
I do.
A lot of energy.
I do.
And so
what you think
I
was going to say? You thought I was going to say
so,
something different.
So what
no,
I'm
I
doing,
do.
So what I am
good.
Doing is rebuttaling it with facts.
Okay.
That's all.
And,
that's
and,
it. That's all.
And your point
a fact
is
a fact.
So,
and
so
your point
fact
is
so,
a fact.
So
and your
Mac,
point is?
Mac, you can't respect, and I shouldn't say it like this. Don't you respect a fan that is passionate about their team, even though you may
I
not
don't,
like
I don't,
women,
no.
even though you may not like what they say, but the fact is they're a passionate type of fan that speaks how they feel about a team.
Yeah.
Versus you. Who, for the most part, are subdued about the way you feel about your team.
But why do you guys keep imposing? Because it's like a moral issue. Because my morals don't line up with you guys' issues. You somehow say that's some kind of less or it's negative because it doesn't because I don't do it the way you guys do it. It's not morbid. It's not morbid or it's not. It's not dispassion or whatever these words you guys make. What I'm saying to you is this. I'm trying to tell you, you guys are the type, you show more passion about your team maybe than I do that equates to you. I don't do it the way you do it, but I call my team what it is. That don't mean that I don't like the fact that we don't win. The fact is you guys get emotional or into it. You don't like it. You guys rebut. I don't. When a guy tells me my team is some shit, and I know they some shit, and I just saw them play like some shit, I'm going to say, yeah, they some shit. What's wrong with keeping it real? It's funny. Everybody says keep it real, but when you keep it real, you know what, now you're not passionate. Now you're not really a fan. Now you're kind of passive.
No. You just, what I'm saying is this. You go about it a different way of being a fan versus myself or Macau. We have two different teams that we like, and
right.
We're passionate about our team. You go about it a different. Wait a minute. You go about it a different way. That doesn't mean that we're wrong because we're passionate about the team.
No, I'm not saying that is. I'm not saying you guys. I'm not even saying that it's wrong. You never let me finish. What I was saying is I respect anybody who backs their team. That's fine. The reason why I don't like the Redskins, and I've said this before, but obviously I have to explain it again, I don't like Redskins fans. I don't like Redskins or their fans.
And I'll tell you why.
The reason why I don't like the Redskins fans and Redskins is because Redskins fans always super sensitive, talk all that trash. They get overly excited, and they start running in people's faces saying, y'all ain't crap, Dallas sucks, other people suck, y'all this and this. They talk all that trash. But what I notice about Redskins fans is as soon as they get their asses kicked or as soon as they get smacked, then they get mad and want to cuss and get mad and all that stuff. It's like just be humble. If you win, like if I win, you don't see when we won this year or we won last year, we was 10 and whatever. I wasn't on here talking about y'all some garbage. I don't go back and forth with fans about that because I know it's just as well.
You don't
as my
do
team
any
is.
Going back and forth about
no,
your
and
team
I don't,
at all.
And I
that's
don't.
A,
you know
that,
why? Because I'm humble
that's
about
the point.
You know
that
why
made.
I don't?
You
know why I don't?
Because
my team ain't good enough to beat. Because my team not. Because my team's not good enough. Because my team's not good enough to talk like that. That's
the point.
So, Jerry, that's
why
I'm saying I don't do it because I know my team's not good enough. Get a Patriots fan. They can talk trash. You know what? They have three Super Bowls, and their team is good. They can brag like that.
There we go.
My team, I can't brag like that because too many years I've seen the Lions get your hopes up to drop them. Just like Redskins fans, the difference is I keep it humble and I keep it right because I know
just
as well.
You did more talking about the Redskins and the Redskins fans than you
talk
about your own team.
That's what you
talk about. I don't talk. No, that's what I know.
But we're not talking about you.
When I come on your page, you talking about Redskins and Redskins fans. Your whole rant. Was way more energy about Redskins and Redskins fans when it should be about your Detroit Lions. You don't hear Mac coming on here wasting energy on the Redskins.
I'm asking you, according to who? He take his shot and he keep it moving.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He don't like the Redskins. You know what I'm saying? He like the Cowboys. He take his shot and he keep it moving. I take my shot about the Cowboys. And I keep it moving.
My
you
God.
Know what I'm saying?
According
you,
to who?
You do,
you're making a
you
lot of accusations, so back it up. According
show,
to who?
Every show you'll see and talk about how you what you don't like about Redskins fans,
yeah.
What you don't like about Redskins, they
sure.
Delusional and all this and this and that,
yeah.
On and on and on. What
and?
You fail to realize is that
I don't care.
You're spending energy as
so
an anti more as an anti-fan
so?
Than you do as a real fan. And
so?
I can't really respect that.
Okay,
like
good.
Crazy.
Then don't. Good. We'll keep it
that's
moving.
Like
good. You don't have to respect it. Good.
I respect the fact that you're a Detroit Lions fan, but what I don't understand and what I don't respect is
how you expend so much energy on a team that you hate?
Because I want
supposedly
to.
Hate.
Because I can. Because I want to. Because
mm-hmm.
I get a reaction
right.
out of you.
Right.
Like I'm getting right now. That's why.
Right.
Oh,
right.
God.
Right.
God.
Right.
There we go. Now, your point is?
Are you?
I thought
Mac,
you my point.
My
okay,
my
good.
My
now
question.
I made my point.
Good. We got your point.
My question
right.
is this, Mac.
Yes.
And I have to ask this question. And I think I've asked it before.
Mm-hmm.
There's 32 teams
mm-hmm.
in the NFL. One
mm-hmm.
of them is you're a fan of,
mm-hmm.
and one of them you're definitely not a fan of, which is the Washington Redskins. Like I said, there's 32 teams. Why are you so so passionate and so hot on the Washington Redskins fan? Is it because you think that they're so passionate about their team and
mm-hmm.
despise that, or
mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
No, because they go too far with it.
Okay.
For instance, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I have Redskins fans that as soon as I talk about them losing, they attack my team. And then I say, yeah, you right. And then they get mad. And the whole thing is they want me to get mad as they do about the Redskins. If they would just leave it alone, it wouldn't be no thing. My thing is they're not humble fans. Like I told you, and I don't know why I got to explain this again, but I'm not going
to
brag
explain
and talk.
You don't
have
to explain it again. We're not stupid. You explaining it for yourself. You're talking to me because you like to hear yourself say whatever you say because
well,
we heard
well,
it.
Did you ask me a question, Jerry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that's what I thought. Anyway,
go ahead.
As I was saying,
go ahead.
The fact of the matter is, I don't like them because they brag too much, they talk too much trash, and their team is not good enough for them to talk trash. They're bums. They're not that good. But because they get lucky and they win games, they talk trash to everybody else as if they've won a Super Bowl, as if they're that good, as if they have a record like that. So my point is, I don't like them because they're never humble fans. They're never. They talk a whole lot of trash, but then as soon as they lose, you can't find them. And they never say nothing. And then when you do, they all gang group attack you and then talk about how bad your team is. And my thing is, why you get mad? Because y'all keep talking about you. They're the ones who keep putting their pressure on them. We going to Super Bowl. We doing this. We doing that. And they're not that good. That's why I don't like them. They're not humble. When most people win their teams, I don't see them. The only two teams I see that really get crazy is Cowboy fans and Redskin fans. But it's the
you
same
really,
thing, just
you,
like
you,
just
you,
like what
you
I
really
just like what
real,
I lived in.
You,
just
you
like
have a real short circle of NFL fans because
mm-hmm.
the New York Giants fans are just crazy. Please.
I know that.
They are ridiculous.
I know that, but I don't live
they're
in New York,
ridiculous.
So I'm talking about where I'm around.
San Francisco has some crazy fans as
but
well.
But I'm talking about
Oakland,
where I am, though.
Oakland
I'm talking about where I am. I don't care
fans.
About everybody
exactly.
else in the other city.
Exactly.
I don't care about
them
in the other city.
It's just like Jerry
said.
I'm
talking about right here.
Fan is short for
don't
fanatics.
Don't move the goalposts.
Fan
I'm talking about right here. Stay right here. Stay here with Kermit the Frog. Stay right here. Don't go nowhere else. Don't start talking about everybody
well,
else.
Well,
point
well,
the bad
well,
behavior somewhere else. We're talking about here.
No, well, let me put it this way, Mac. You're in a big melting pot. You got people coming
mm-hmm.
from all over the country
mm-hmm.
that settle in the Washington, D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you have fans, not just
mm-hmm.
Washington Redskins fans. You
mm-hmm.
got fans from all
mm-hmm.
over the country
mm-hmm.
who whoever part of the country they're from,
mm-hmm.
whether it's been the West Coast, the
mm-hmm.
Northeast,
mm-hmm.
or the Midwest or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there are fans. And they're probably fanatical fans. You're probably not running to them as much as you run into Redskin fans.
No,
I've
lived in West Virginia where there's crazy. I've lived in Pittsburgh where there's crazy
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh fans. To me, I think Pittsburgh Steelers fans are better than Redskin fans because they got a right to brag and talk trash because every year they're in the mix. That's the difference. I can see why you talk trash. I got
to don't you think? And I'm I have an idea. Maybe this year that the Redskins fans are more braggadocious for the fact that they have a quarterback that have a brighter future and a lot of upside
okay.
and a lot of hope
absolutely
in their team. So
absolutely,
I guess I'll keep on coming back into it. A fan is short for fanatic. So when you see that your team is short is on the rise, you feel better about yourself, especially a fanatic fan. They really want to really want to really.
And
really
same,
but what you got?
And
you guys are making this
same
fan
that he's
you
talking about
that
he don't like.
You're making this an issue as if somehow I'm saying he doesn't have a right to it, or I want to stop him from doing it. I'm not. I don't care what the fans do. That don't mean
Slim. You do care.
Right.
You do care.
You've expressed it to us numerous times. You're right. Absolutely. And I don't care what anybody thinks about it, because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And I'm going to enjoy it.
Right.
Because I'm getting a ride out of you just like I am now.
Bring that
care.
Real out. That's what we like.
That's what we like.
You see him, Jerry, right?
But the thing is, you come on here to try to dig and irritate and agitate, but you don't.
I'm not digging and irritating and agitating. That's all you do. Everyone in your audience to hear. I have outed you already.
Outed me?
I outed you like three or four times.
Nah, you ain't outed me. Because when you're honest, brother, and you tell what you really feel, you have no fear of what other people think. I don't care what you think. I don't care what anybody on the audience think. This is called
no chaser. We know that.
This ain't called hide your feelings.
We know that. Even if your thoughts are in confliction with your own ideals, we know that.
That's what you say.
But you ain't nobody, though. This show, five or six times on the other show, every time I come on here.
And?
Every time.
My point is this.
I get to do it, and I have fun doing it.
Good. So we're having fun already. That's why I like you on
it,
because you try to have fun with it. Good.
Doing it. I like doing it. I do it every time.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I don't have a problem with that.
If you don't care about what you think and what other people think, that's fine. Okay.
Right.
Well, let's show us how you think. Show.
I just told you how you think. I just told you. So we can get
the full spectrum of what you are and what you are.
You always get the full spectrum of me, brother. The only person who's not getting it is you, because you keep saying I ain't giving it to you. I gave it to you. You the one who's all emotional about it, not me. I could care less.
No.
Remember,
you're the one who's drawn
to my show. I don't ask you to come. You come because you want to come.
So who's fooling who? Yeah, I come to your show.
You need to come on this show.
Ever come to Grown Soul and Real Talk, because I would eat you alive.
No, you won't.
Alive.
No, you won't. Why would you eat me alive?
Alive.
Let's keep it real.
Everybody knows.
No, let me tell you why everybody knows. Let's be honest. Let's keep it real. You want it real? I'm going to give it to you real. Let's be true. Jerry, here's the problem. Here's the thing, Jerry.
I'm listening.
Let me tell you really what it is.
I'm listening.
Mikhail doesn't like me, and he doesn't like what I stand for.
I already know it. I hear everything that you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about how you grown up. You talked
mm-hmm.
about how, you know, you're mm-hmm. thinking, and you broke it down to how your school of thought works.
Mm-hmm.
So I've listened to it. I don't have anything against you, bro. For you to even say that, that's crazy. Jerry, I didn't mean what I said.
I just wanted to see what Mikhail was going to say. Thank you, Mikhail. I just wanted to get you to say you respect what I said. That's exactly why I did it, because I drew him out. See, there you go. Now,
you
back
ain't
at
draw
you.
Me
Start
out
at 1-1.
Oh, God.
You ain't draw me out the topic.
You ain't draw me out the topic.
I did it on purpose. I wanted to see. Okay, cool. I'm good with it now. I'm good.
Okay,
I just want to see what he's going to say.
Okay, Jerry, play umpire. You got to throw us a curveball.
No,
I'm just
sitting. You know, when I say play umpire, I'll jump in here.
No, we got it. You had me too, Mac,
because I was going to tell you that you were way off base.
Let me put it to you this way. If I really felt Mikhail didn't like me,
mm-hmm.
and he was coming on here for some kind of, you know, sick reason, or he was just coming on here just to, you know, if I thought it was just sinister,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let you put him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I just like, nah, he can't come back, blah, blah, blah. I'd have said it. But
mm-hmm.
if you notice, as much as Mikhail comes on here and, you know, tests me, I like that. I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It don't bother me because I know he challenges. And that's what he's supposed to do. He's going to challenge. Just
mm-hmm.
like I'm going to say. But at the same time, to be honest with you, Mikhail actually makes me better because I handle people a whole lot different because of Mikhail. It's easy. Like, I know how to mentally bother people. I know how to, like, you know, he keeps me on my toes. He keeps me on my toes. I'll give it to him. He keeps me on my toes. You know, I will give him one thing though. He's probably one of the toughest Redskin fans there are mentally. The rest of them, I can piss him off and make him mad. He
mm-hmm.
won't get mad. He'll just be like, man, he'll just keep coming. I'll be like, all right, good. He keep coming. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way Mikhail is. He gonna test you. He gonna come at you. He gonna, you know, just like the thing about I Eat You Alive on his show. I'm not gonna go to his show because it's like fighting a dude. No, seriously, it's like fighting a dude. It's like going to New York to fight a dude. Like, why would I go to New York? Like, I know that's your space. I know your group. I know his crowd. His crowd is in a word, they're vampires. Like they attack in groups. I mean, they follow this man like, man, I'm serious, man. They follow this dude like he's like King Midas, man. I'm serious, man. Like, everything he touched turned to gold. I've seen him. And I'm like, man, these dudes a whole nother animal. You know what I'm saying? Growing so tough. To be honest with you, I wouldn't go on his show because some of the stuff they talk about, I just ain't going to talk about. I mean, that's just them. Y'all just go a different way than I do. No,
that's a dope conversation.
You gotta come in.
You
say
what?
But that's a dope conversation.
No, I know that. But some, okay, put it for everything. If you talk about certain, no. I'm just saying certain things. I'm not. It's like me sitting there talking about drinking. I don't drink, so why would I go to on a show talking about beer or talking about drinking?
Oh,
just,
my
certain
goodness.
Things I'm just not gonna talk about.
But
I'll be
goodness.
Honest with you, Mikhail is, you know, Mikhail keep you on your toes. He do. He keep me on my toes. He reminds me of the guys that I used to grow up with that would test you, hassle you, and if you were not mentally strong, you would start crying. I've seen guys that'll talk about a guy till a grown man, he start crying and wanting to fight. And that's the kind of person Mikhail is. But the difference is I don't let Mikhail bother me because I've already been through that. I've had worse said to me. I've had worse things said to me. I've had these dudes joan on me all day from 8 o'clock in the morning at school till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, everything, my pants, my shoes, I can have brand new stuff after Christmas, and they'll find something to talk about it and just keep going with it. And you just, like, if you ain't strong enough mentally, but that's how Mikhail is. But that's why I like him on the show, because he brings it, but at the same time, he brings a good view to it. He does.
You know what, though? I ain't this bad on my show, though. For real, I ain't this bad. Unless somebody jump out there. But normally, you know, nah, we don't.
But I know your group is crazy because I've seen them on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, y'all, these dudes. Nah, these people just slim. I said something about God, and they flex. And I was like, oh, nah, this land of the vampires, they on this joint straight. They straight evil on this joint. I mean, Bama talking about fucking Christians, this and that. This, that, Jesus, this. I'm like, oh, nah. That's like walking into a room, and a whole bunch of people all turning to vampires. You'd be like, damn, where's the door? You be like, nah, man.
But I
don't think you this bad on the thing. I really don't, because I've had conversations.
But you know what?
I do get
a lot of those folks, and they do want to play Smash That Religion type thing.
Yeah, man.
And you know, I grew up as a Christian, and I grew up, you know, going to Catholic school and stuff like that. And as I got older, I studied some of the Muslim faith, and also dabbled in Buddha and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got, you know, just open to, you know, just a lot of different things. And what I came to think, you know, I definitely believe in God, but I just don't get down with religion. But I don't like, you know, certain things that, you know, certain folks say about, you know, religion or Christianity and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I'm standing in the middle of a whole bunch of them vampires and stuff like that.
I know, when I was on your page, and I said something, and I was like, oh, nah. I was like, these guys are crazy.
He ain't said nothing, but
look, he got quiet. Look, Mikhail got quiet, Jay. And them fools start putting comments on the thing. I was like, oh, nah. I was like, nah, dude.
Yeah,
man. This is group therapy. I said, I'm leaving this alone.
You gotta be ready to battle. But, like, I definitely do sit in the lion's den. You know, majority of the time, I'll be on there with about at least 9 or 10 women on the call. And they'll just be going on men. They'll just be going. But I've learned how to, you know, you know, work my way around it, deal with it, talk to them.
Right.
And, you know, either agitate them or pull them back. You know, I really, really work in that. And now I got, my girl Drea. She's doing the same thing, but she's just doing it to men. Like, her show draws a lot of men, and I draw a lot of women. So it's like crazy, real crazy.
It is. That's one of those areas I know a lot about, but I won't dabble in because, and the only reason why I won't dabble in it is because I've kind of shied away from it only because, like if it's one on, there's certain women on my page that will come to me about issues they're having with men and ask me. But they're not coming to me to ask me my opinion. They're coming to ask me from a Christian perspective, like, what should I do? Like, what would you do, or how should it be? And then I tell them. But in a forum like yours, I won't do that because it's just some things that I believe in are so opposite to what society says that some people ain't gonna accept it. And you just have to be like, nah, I ain't going there. Like, if you really want to know, I'll tell you. But if you don't really want to know and you ain't ready for it, I ain't telling you. And that's just the way I am, because I don't force. Because the one thing I don't try to do is I state me, but I don't try to force what I believe on other people. And
That's the one thing.
Nothing
wrong with that. But you had a conversation.
You
still had to be able to stand in whatever your beliefs is.
But the way I try to do is I try to talk about me, because I don't try to say it like, everybody should do this and everybody should do that. And if you notice, when I do say something, I always says the Bible says or God says. What that does is that keep you out.
I've heard you say that about a million damn times. But I'm saying I don't write it.
So when people get mad, I'm like, why you get mad at me? I didn't write it. It's the Bible. Now, if you choose not to read it, that's on you. I'm just telling you what it is according to what the Bible that I read and what I follow. Now, some people say the Quran says this or Quran says that. I have to respect that. Okay, that's your religion. That's what you believe, and that's your book that you go to. I can't be mad with that. I can't be mad at that at all. You know, but for me, I just think, to be honest with you, I just think that with Christianity, it's become, you have a lot of people out here who ain't handling it right and ain't saying the right things and aren't really, really reading the book and saying what it really says, and they're interpreting it the way they want to interpret it. And that's the part I don't like. You know, like the whole, you know, like we talked here before about the whole gay thing. I don't have a problem against a person being gay. That's your choice. Because what Christians don't realize, and I had to tell somebody, a Christian, that the other day, they was like, I just don't like gay people. I was like, how can you not like gay people? Because God don't like them. I said, no, God loves them. God doesn't like what they're doing, but God loves them. I said, so what our job is, what he's always told us to do is to love them. be good to him. If I see a gay guy without a shirt, I'm going to give him a shirt. If I can help him, I'm going to help him. That hasn't my choice. I said, because think about it. And he never thought of it before, and I said, think of it. I said, God forgives of our sins. Why can't we forgive them of theirs, of what they do wrong? We forgive people every day for the crap that they do. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. I said, so now when we do our cruddy stuff, God forgave us. When we was out there doing the wrong stuff, I said, but now when somebody else is out there doing their wrong stuff, we want to hold it against them and punish them and be mean to them. I said, that's not God. God ain't never been that type of person. I said, so why do we do that? He gives us the same freedom to choose the lifestyle that we want to live. And I said, whether we decide to, if I decide to not believe in God, guess what God's going to do? He's going to protect my right not to believe in him. whatever comes about that choice, then we have to deal with it at the end of our life. But if I choose to, then he's going to protect that right too. He gives us free will. And I said, gay people have free will just like anybody else to choose whatever lifestyle they want to lead. But the problem is, Mikhail, is that most Christians don't read their Bible. They don't really read it and study it. They don't understand it, and they're not trying to. They take one thing, and then they go, that's what it means. And it's like, that's wrong. And I'm freely said that, you know, we have some bad messengers, very bad messengers, very bad examples, and that's what makes the world look sometimes at us as Christians and go, y'all crazy. You're stupid. I don't want to hear anything you say because you got a lot of mean ones out here, and that's not what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be mean. You know, we're supposed to try to help and bless, not be mean. So, you know, like I said, man, I just said that to see if we could get a rise out of you. But I knew you guys, when you guys came,
oh, no.
I said, I got him. I said,
oh,
I got
no.
him.
You ain't going
to
get a rise out of me. I mean,
no, I was just, but I'm saying I did it because I won, but I didn't expect Jerry to react the way he did. I was like, okay, let me stop now because Jerry about to give me a lecture like I don't know what about. Man, he looked that way. I said, let me stop because I'm about to get a lecture. I was like, no, I'm just messing, man. I just said it, man. I was like, Jerry like my mom. If certain things you say, you just like, nah, I better clean that up because if I don't, I'm about to get a 45-minute lecture on why I didn't do it. Nah, man. Okay, Mom, I'm good. I'm sorry. Not to try to make you feel funny, but I'm saying I respect you like that. When you say,
yeah,
I'm like, okay,
let me
go with Jerry, man, and say, all right, Jerry, look, I was just messing with Mikhail. I was trying to pull his chain and get him to say something. I ain't really think he don't dislike me because if I didn't, I wouldn't have him on the radio every week. In fact, when Mikhail comes, I didn't expect him to come this week. Actually, I didn't expect you to come this week. But, Mikhail, let me ask you a question, though, honestly. While I got you here, since you are one of the people that I do talk to as far as political stuff, I'm going to throw this question out to you. What do you think of the fiscal cliff, and what do you think it'll be a deal done by the end of the year?
No, I don't think it's going to be a deal done by the end of the year. You could tell by some of the posturing that's going on, and I think the Republicans are going to have a real problem because I cannot find a flaw in how Obama's playing this. I really can't.
No, that's not a flaw.
I can see a gang of flaws on the other side, and the thing about it, the thing that's really tripping me out, I don't know if it's because I'm getting, you know, a little bit older and a little bit wiser, or if it's because of how he's playing it and it's just, you know, bringing out so much stuff. Every time I watch the news, I am just blown away at some of the stuff that they doing, you know, and how they playing, especially with McCain and them and the whole Rice thing and how they trying to, you know, get Kerry in so they can get the other dude in there to challenge and get him in office and play that power game with the senators. It's just wicked. And then you got Boehner, he can't squash that one little corner of his folks. He can't pacify them. He can't. He get in there and talk to Obama, and then he say the right things in front of Obama and in front of the cameras, and then come back and tweet something else after he done got in that back door room and talk to them.
Well, let me ask you this question because I want to ask you some questions because I But let me ask you this. Now, I believe that you should stand on principle and you should stand on, and I'm a conservative, even though I'm independent. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative. I believe that, here's what I believe, just so you know. I believe that there should be a deal done. I do believe in, if you're going to raise, I believe in raising rates on wealthier folks if that's what you want. Do I think it'll do any good? Hell no. Do I think it'll pay off the deficit? Hell no. It'll run the government for 8.5 days, whatever. But that's fine. If that's what they want, I say, okay, fine. Now, would I want to do it? I would rather do it through tax loopholes than to raise the rate. And the only reason why I say I would rather do it through the loopholes than the rates, only because there are a lot of small businesses that are wealthy that fall into that rich category that are going to be hurt. That's the only thing I say. And I'm not saying I'm against Obama's plan as far as the rates. I don't have a problem with that, because ultimately I think even if they get the rate they want, that it's still going to have no effect on the economy and still going to be bad or whatever next year. The only thing it'll do is it'll save the mandatory cuts that will come if we go off the cliff or what have you. Now, the only thing I will say is this, but I do believe that the Republicans that are there, who were re-voted back in and were voted in 2010, are there to be fiscally responsible, which happen to be Republicans. Do I think that they're going to take the blame if we go off the cliff? Absolutely. If we give in and give to the rates, I'm going to tell you now, in 2014, you're going to see Republicans go. You're going to see the advantage go back to the Democrats, because people are going to be pissed off and say, we told you to stay there and hold the line and hold the line. Do I think the Republicans should hold the line on getting entitlement reform or cutting some programs to save some money? Yes, we do need spending cuts. The only thing I disagree about with this whole thing is that I don't agree with them saying that Congress should let them now raise the debt ceiling whenever they want. I don't think that should happen. And the only other thing I don't agree with is I do believe that Obama can get what he wants, and I don't mind him having what he wants, but my problem is cut the spending. Cut something. Entitlements, you know, it's Medicare, Social Security, do something. But I think it's really unfair to ask for the richest people to pay the money, I don't think it's unfair in itself to do it, but I think it's unfair to keep spending and spending and spending and then say, give us the rates on the rich up that. Let us raise the debt ceiling whenever we want, and then say, okay, and then sometime next year or down the line in the next 3 years, we'll do spending cuts. Because, and I'm not saying it's him, but I'm saying if anybody thinks that the Democratic Party is going to come along next year or the year after that and get spending cuts once they get what they want, it's not going to happen. And I'm not blaming on Obama. I'm just telling you, for Democrat side, they're not going to do it, because that's what they do. They spend. They want to spend money for programs to do all these things and stuff like that. All I'm saying is, if I'm in my house, Mikhail, Jerry, if I'm in my house, and I want more revenue in my house, I get another job or whatever, but at the same time, I can't spend at the same rate. I have to at some point cut something back, cut something out, or cut something down. And that's all I'm saying that I want Obama to do. I'm not against Obama's plan, because personally, I think it's not going to make a difference if you raise the rate on rich people that from 39.6. I don't think that's going to make that much of a difference. It'll be a few billion dollars, but not enough to pay off a deficit or make any difference or do anything like that. That's fine. But my thing is, I just don't think it's fair to just basically say, you know, nah, man, we're going to do that later. We're going to do the spending cuts later. Give us what we want now. And I just think that's wrong. And I don't think that's all Obama. I think that's called I won. And I think all the people that are standing behind him and the Democratic Party are saying, fuck the Republicans. We want to get what we want now, because we won. We want to rub it in your face, and we want to do it, and we're not going to give you spending cuts. And I personally think, as an American, that's irresponsible. It's irresponsible to ask for it.
I don't think that we're rubbing it in the face.
I'm talking about physically the people who are up on the hill, who are trying to help America.
I know what you're saying, but I don't think it's coming off like they're rubbing it in his face. I think it's just, here's what I think about the Democratic Party. They've been so accustomed to to losing, they don't even know how to act. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to act with it. No, seriously, they don't know how to act.
No, you're probably right.
And which is the truth, you know what I mean? And really, they should just, you know, have the backbone. There's only one, really, that's having a damn backbone, and that's Obama. And,
right.
And the thing that, the thing with, like, the you know, the spending cuts and stuff, I agree with you. I think it's got to be a balanced approach. That's the way I feel about it.
Okay, well,
because
at least you agree with me, because
that's
what I wanted to know.
Hold on. Let me say this one last thing. Because you're not going to be able to cut your way into, you know, cut your way out of this insolvency. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to do both. We have to, you know, like you said, you have to go out and get another job. You know, you have to produce more, you know, you have to produce more revenue do cuts at the same time.
I think that
they will cut. The Democrats will do cuts because Obama's put, you know, cuts on the table before, far more than you know, the progressives really want. Far more than because when I saw the deal, my eyes popped out. Like, what the fuck is he talking about? This nigga giving away the goddamn store. Is he crazy? So I just was like, I was just, you know, a little surprised by it,
But you do agree. But see, that's what I mean. But you do agree. But see, my thing is, I think they need to do it all at. But I'm saying do it all at once.
I think they need to do you know, sensible cuts. You know what I'm saying, in different areas. You know what I'm saying, and I think they need to cut. They need to cut the loopholes, and it's not really raising tax on the rich. It's just letting it go back to 39%. That's what I'm in favor of.
I'm in favor of even the 39. Here's my thing. The only reason why I'm not in favor of the 39% and I'm more in favor of cutting the loopholes for the top 1 or 2% is only because the people that I don't know what the limit is on rich. We still haven't established that. But if you raise that rate, there are the elite people, the 1 or 2% that are going to be fine with it. But there are people who are small business owners who don't have the kind of cash and are not as rich as the other guys. That you, if you raise the 39.6%,
you just adjust the cuts for the for the small businesses and stuff like that. That's an easy remedy.
I'm with that. But that's why I said I'm more willing for the rate for the loopholes to raise revenue through closing all the loopholes, which makes the rich people, which to me, I think here's my solution. What I would think, if you say, find out what the top 2% on average are what they're worth, what are they really making, and then say, okay, on those people we're going to close loopholes. Then on those people maybe who fall below that but are still rich, but maybe they can't handle the rate, you close the loopholes on them. See, I think loopholes are more fair to everybody, because then at that point, everybody's getting the same thing, even though they're not making the same money, because it's so hard to figure out who's a millionaire, who's a billionaire, who's this, who's that, who's really
not making that much money.
And that's why I said I like the loopholes better than the rate, because the rate is just everybody.
But see, I want all across the board. Everybody need to get it. Everybody need to feel it. Everybody.
I agree with that.
Loopholes need to be cut. You know what I'm saying? We can adjust certain, you know, some things for small businesses and stuff like that. That's an easy fix. Cut some entitlements, but don't cut it so bad that it's going to destroy, the elderly and whatnot. I think they need to go ahead and raise that age rate. I really do.
You talking about retirement?
Oh yeah, they need to raise that.
Okay.
They need to raise that.
Because me personally,
I can't even see me retiring unless my whole body just fails me and I can't. You know what I mean?
Unless you become wealthy enough that you can.
Nah, even if I become wealthy enough, I'm still going to be working. I'm still going to be working.
What I mean by working is, I know you're going to be working, but I'm saying, but if you make, let's say you become a multimillionaire, what I'm saying is that decision is going to become a whole lot easier when you have something coming in all the time and you have a business that's built, as opposed to I have to store up enough nuts to have, you know, to retire the way I want. Because let's be honest, what most people don't realize and don't understand is that Social Security was never meant to retire on.
Right.
It was never meant to retire. It was supposed to be something that went along with what you put away. It's supposed to be just something that went along with that. But, you know, like I said, me and you are basically in agreement on this. Like I said, but my only problem is that entitlements are the biggest and largest part of our economy. And that's the thing that we don't touch. And every time somebody goes to touch it or they talk about it, the only thing I don't like is that it seems that, you know, Democrats start hollering about, they scare the hell out of everybody, all the elderly, everybody, and say, you're not going to have this, you're not going to have this. And we and I'm like, at what point do we finally say we have to cut it? I'm not saying cut it, like you said, to damage anybody, but when I see people on food stamps who don't need to be on it, when I see people getting mental checks who don't need it, who are perfectly sane and not. What I'm saying is my problem with the government is that we need to start going in and really doing our diligence and saying we need to cut this stuff and we need to really get more stringent on who really needs it, because I see so many people who need welfare and who can't qualify for it, and then I see the people I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying the 47%, I'm not saying what you're talking about,
but the percentages are so small on that compared to what the revenue is, it wouldn't even help. It really wouldn't.
Right.
It really wouldn't. I think they need to go after the fraud.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the fraud, like the ones that's doing it, you know, through orthopedics and all that kind of carrying on.
And the fraud that's going on
through the Veterans Administration.
I agree with that. It's a whole bunch of cartels.
That are funding themselves, gaming on Medicaid. They had a report yesterday.
And I'm glad you said that. But and I know I said food stamps, but I really mean, when I say entitlements, I mean everything you were talking about too. I'm saying everything needs to just be either cut, or we need to go after the fraud and waste. Because my wife is a nurse, and she works as an administrator for home care. She can sit and tell you how much fraud and waste is going on in Medicare and Medicaid. She said it's ridiculous. You know, people opening up daycares and just taking money and billing for stuff that they never do and then roll out. I'm talking about people become multimillionaires or in a matter of 6 months and then roll out. So I agree with you. I'm not just nailing this just to food stamps or whatever, but I'm saying that's what I mostly see, because I'm not in the medical industry. But I know that goes on because I hear it from my wife when she comes home. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? All of those programs need to be, you're right, the fraud and the waste needs to be cut out. But the problem is that every time they talk about cutting entitlements, which to me means cutting out the fraud and waste, the Democratic Party starts hollering and scaring the hell out of people, and then they go, no, don't touch.
See, the thing what happens is, you know, they keep coming out with, you know, these voucher programs, which we all know is some bullshit. We all know that's some bullshit.
And I don't have a problem with that. And I don't have a problem with a voucher or whatever program they have. Here's my thing. I don't mind that, but you know, I'm not against, if it's a voucher program, do I really know what that's all about? I can't sit and say I know what it's about. Does it sound good? No. But at the same time, what I'm saying is just cut the fraud and waste. If we cut the fraud and the waste out, I'm just saying if we start being more stringent on people who are getting it, who really need it, I think we would cut a lot of fraud and waste out.
We're not saying the same thing.
Because we got a lady. They were talking about yesterday. They were saying that, I can't remember the study, but there was a study that said a woman with two kids, a single mother with two kids making $69,000 or $70,000 a year is worse off than a person who has two kids and that's on welfare and getting benefits. Like, I've never heard nothing like that nowadays. They were saying there's always, but they're saying now in what they get now and what a person gets can get now, it's more beneficial to them not to go work, like to just get that. And that's, like, unheard of in this country. That's the first time I've ever heard anything like that in this country. Like, really? You know, so what I'm saying to you is, we're saying the same thing.
No,
I believe we're saying the same thing.
We're not saying the same thing.
What are we
I'm talking
then?
About. I mean, you're really kind of still on that conservative line. You know what I mean? Just
right.
it's just dressed differently. You know,
mm-hmm.
the whole welfare queens type of thing. You just coming at it at a different angle. You know
but
what
it's
I'm
not
saying?
Just, but it's not. But I agree with what you're saying about Medicare, Medicaid. Those are entitlements.
Yeah,
Medicaid,
you agree
when
with
I
me?
Say
yeah.
entitlements,
you're,
I mean every. No, I mean every entitlement. I
no,
just said
I mean,
I use welfare and food stamps and stuff is because I don't work in those other industries, but I do see friends, family members, distant family members, people who are getting this stuff and are not. It's not legit. So what I'm saying is I'm only going by what I say.
Yeah, you
what
but
I
you
experience.
Can only see what you you can only say that off of what you see. You don't know. You don't know. Well, you can sit and tell me like the way it looks and what's going on, but you don't know. You don't.
Okay.
You don't know.
So
you
you're telling
know.
Me so
just
you're
like
telling me
know.
Wait a minute.
Just like
so
I
you're
don't
telling
know.
Me wait a minute, let me ask you a question. So you're telling me that I have a friend or a relative that I've been knowing for years, and I know their mental state, but they're getting a mental check. They're getting a check as if they're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
What I'm saying is they are bigger fish to fry. No, it's not a big fish. That's a small fish. You down there. You down talking about the bargain basement type stuff. You want to clean up the bargain basement type stuff.
No,
when
I'm saying
when
I want to clean, clean up
when
the people.
Is on,
clean up.
When it's jokers on the top, you know, fraud Medicare for millions and millions of dollars.
I agree with that. And they
seem to not be able to get them because they'll abandon the business, change the name, and you know, switch the people that they're using, and just take it up and go at
right.
it again.
Right, my
you know what I mean?
Right. My
those
right.
are,
that's what
those,
my wife, that's what my wife tells
are,
me. Right,
those are
right.
fish that we need to get. We
I
need
understand
to get
that.
Them. We need
so
to get them
about,
first.
So we're talking about the same thing. But what I'm saying is, but if you're gonna do, if you, but when I say entitlements, I mean everything, even what you're talking about, everything. If I just cut my spending, I don't agree with you on the personal level.
I don't agree with you on the people on the personal level.
I don't agree with you there. Why?
I don't agree with you there because I think the percentages are so small.
So we should just
it,
let
it
go.
It really would behoove us to go after it than to go after the bigger fish because they haven't seen stop. They have not seemed to be able
but
to stop them.
Okay, I understand
you've got people that have become multimillionaires and have run for president.
Trust
scamming
me,
on,
I know
scamming
that.
Medicare.
Trust me,
you know
I know
saying?
That. Right, I'm not
you
denying.
Know?
That's what I'm saying. We're in agreement on that. But what I'm saying is, why
we
should
need to
I
get those folks?
But why? I understand that. I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. Me and you are saying the same thing. But I don't understand what if you're saying that we should just let the small fish go. And just go after the big and let the small fish just keep wasting and defrauding money.
It needs to be worth our while, Slim. Because you can't chase somebody that's getting $1,000 a month. It's gonna cost us $5,000 to chase them down and get them out of it and lock them up too.
But a thousand dollars a month over the next five years adds up. It still adds up. Wait a minute. Now, this is what I'm saying, okay?
Now, you, how many thousands of dollars does it take to get a multi-billionaire that's doing the same thing,
exactly.
but he's doing it on a larger scale?
Exactly.
I'm not denying.
Exactly.
Why? This is what I don't understand. What I don't understand is, you guys are mischaracterizing what I'm saying. I'm with
no,
you.
No, we're not mischaracterizing.
But why would you let? It's like It's like I'm not going to go get the thief who's robbing people, but I'm going to go get the white-collar guy who's taking billions of dollars, and I'm going to let the little guy go because
it
just don't mean that.
You know how it's not that you let the little guy. It's not that you letting the little guy go. You're not going to get every last one of those people.
You're not going to get every last one of those people.
But when you get a big fish, you're getting a bigger bite of the fraud than if you go after a lot of little fish.
Okay. I agree with that. Why can't we do all the programs? Why can't we do it all at the same time? Why does it have to be, no, let's do them first,
let's do them second, and let's do them third? Why do we have to? And see, this is what pisses me off about the conservatives, because y'all always do this welfare queen shit. You just dress it up and just spin it and just do it in a new millennium way.
You're still doing it. Why?
So if I agree with you
on going to catch, which my wife works in the industry, I know firsthand what she tells me is the truth. I see it. So you're telling me that if I sit here and tell you I agree with that, but now I'm spending it because I still believe in getting all the fraud and waste, not only in Medicare and the big fish, but also getting the same little fish and everybody else.
We can't even get the big fish. We can't even get them.
Okay, but you said we should get them first, though.
It's the same theory with drugs. You can get all the users all day long. You can catch them all day long because you see them here, you see them there, you grab them. But what benefit is that?
Because eventually you get to the supplier.
Because from the little guy on the street to the supplier is so many layers. There's no way that you're going to get to the big man unless you go after the big man. And that'll cut what's going on down below him.
So let me ask you a question. So if I catch somebody on the street who's dealing drugs,
right?
Then I shouldn't waste my effort going through all those layers to find the guy because I don't know who the guy. We don't know who the guy is because that's pretty much why police and why investigators, why ICE and all these other people. This is why they capture the guys, and then they get them for interrogation to tell them who's the next guy. So we shouldn't go through none of those layers because that's just too much work.
See, this is so easy. That's why our jails are so full up with small time guys for the simple fact is that this theory. Rather than go out after the big guy, they go after the small guy who may give up the guy who's ahead of him. The small guy doesn't know who the big guy is because he's so many layers above that, he has no idea who the big guy is.
Exactly. He ain't got no idea.
So you're telling me we should go after the guys that got the big names that are over in Mexico and other places, we should go get them.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely.
Now once we catch them, so what if we don't? But let me ask you this. So now once we catch the big fish, so then there's other people who are big who are under them. So we should just let those people go.
For the small underlings, all you do is change the laws, sir. You change the laws and you change the game and how the money is being dispensed. Mm-hmm. You know, redistribution. That's what you do. That's how you change it up for the small guys. That's how you get them. They're too easy to get.
Yes.
You know, they're too easy to get. They're way too easy. It seems like, you know, this society, we cannot get the bad guy. Because you know, this society, let's be honest, we glorify bad guys all the time. We glorify them. You could go right down CNBC and watch all the scams that they be playing.
Right.
Millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
Glorifying.
Right.
We need to get them.
I don't deny that. I'm in agreement with both of you on that. What I'm saying is wrong. If right is right, if we all sit here and say right is right and wrong is wrong, then we can't say that, well, don't do it that way. Go after the big fish and get them first, and then we set up the thing. But the thing about it is, my thing is, all I'm trying to get everybody to see is that it's still, whether it's a little guy or a big guy, it's still stealing. It's still fraud. It's still waste. It's still wrong. So what I'm saying is,
You would waste manpower, energy, and everything going after something real small when you need to take that manpower to go after the big fish.
So what happens when we take the big fish down? Somebody else comes along and takes his place. So at what point do we stop doing it? So then that means you didn't take down
the big fish. You need to stop the flow. You need to figure out how to stop the flow.
Right.
One way to stop the flow is you change the game. You change the law. You change the laws, and then you change the distribution method.
The one thing I will agree with you guys on, in your line of thinking, I don't ever think there'll be a day when the flow will ever stop. Because it's like alcohol. It was like alcohol during the Prohibition. You had people high up to the presidents, everything else in this country that had their hands in illegal alcohol sales, making the alcohol illegal, doing all that. So I certainly don't get me wrong. Do I realistically think we'll ever stop it? No. Do I think we could make a dent in it? Yeah. But do I think we'll ever stop it? No. So I'm in agreement with both of you that it'll never stop because there's too much money in it. You know, I've always believed in the theory that, you know, drug dealers don't have planes. Drug dealers don't have the money to travel
Drug dealers aren't chemists.
You're absolutely right. And we don't grow cocaine in our backyard. So what I'm saying to you is that I agree with that it will always be around and you should take them out. Do I agree with what you said about CNBC with white collar crime and stuff like that? Absolutely. Should they go to jail? Absolutely they should go to jail. I'm not with that. You know, I'm not with it at all. All I'm saying to you is that I'm just saying if we're going to go after fraud, waste, and abuse, we need to go after all of it. Now, if you want to put more effort into getting the big guys and say, okay, we're going to go after these guys, that's fine. But if you're going to go after them, you got to go after everybody else in between. And it can't be just, okay, well, because they're more expensive, they're worth $500 billion, and this guy down here is worth 10 grand. We're going to spend more getting the 10 grand guy than we are to get the other guy. So let's let the 10 grand guy go and get the other guy. I don't agree with that. I agree you go after the $500 billion guy and you go after the $10,000 guy. And guess what? With the savings after you get the $5 billion guy, you can afford to go and get the other guy and get him off the street too, because he's still killing people too.
You know you just made fraud and waste right there. You know that, right? You just created fraud and waste.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, not fraud. You created waste. Because the one thing that I understand about this country is all about the dollar. Fuck
mm-hmm.
all that
Absolutely.
Race, gay, religion, all that stuff. It's about the dollar.
Thank
so
God for free market.
So if there's a guy out there that's milking the Medicare system for $2 or $3 million, and then I had the choice to go after him or Shaquana over here that's got three kids and she getting $3,000 in benefits, I'm going after the dude for the $2 or $3 million. I'm going to get that.
But Shaquana, you're not going to spend a lot of money on because if you say, put it like this. Let me give you an example. If she's getting welfare benefits and she's working and she's making $30,000-$40,000 a year and she's getting them illegally, I'm just giving you an example. I'm saying, but I know people who are doing that. And they're getting food stamps, and
What you don't know is the people that's scamming it on a major scale. That's the problem.
We can sit here and break down all these little small folks
that's doing this and doing that, and you still
would not come up to a quarter of a percent of any type of debt. You
but
still
it doesn't
would.
Matter. It all adds
you
up.
Still
but
you
still
would.
But it still all adds up. It all adds up. Somebody else needs. There's somebody
that is
out
not,
here.
That is not cost effective.
This,
it's
this
not.
Is somebody
not cost effective.
But
because
you guys are the same guys. But you are the same guys who want people
tax.
To be taken care of, and the people who need help.
Mm-hmm.
You guys on screen. We need more education. We need more help. We need to help the poor. So what I'm saying is, if Shaquanda's got two kids and she's getting a check and food stamps that are worth whatever amount of money there is, getting Shaquanda off that and getting it to somebody who needs it is much better, and that's much worth much more, is seeing somebody else who needs the help get it than a person who's going to work every day making $40,000-$50,000 a year and getting food stamps and a freaking welfare check and they don't
but
and
see,
they
you,
shouldn't
see,
be getting.
You are so small with that. That is too
okay.
small. That's
right.
way too small.
I understand.
Way too small. And then
okay.
even if you got a million of them, you still would not even do a quarter of a dent. And that is not cost effective, in my opinion, at all.
Okay.
At all.
We can agree to disagree on that.
I want my tax dollars to be effective.
Okay.
I want them to be effective.
This,
I want them to I want them to take out these big dudes, and I don't want to see another Ross Perot. I don't want to see another motherfucker like that ever. But when they still exist, I have a problem.
I agree with that. Here's my thing. For the record, let me say this. For the record, I agree with you on getting the big fish. I agree with that. The only difference we have is that you want to get the big fish and let the small fish go because they ain't worth it. They're not bringing anything and there's a small amount. I don't agree with that because in my world and what I believe is stealing is stealing, wrong is wrong, and there's nobody that should be let off just because they're not doing as much damage as somebody else. I can't.
And what I'm saying is you can get them easily. You know, you change the laws, you change the game, you analyze how those small fish are operating, and then you make a law to change the game. That's easy.
That's too easy.
What they seem to not be able to do is to get these crooks that's becoming multimillionaires by playing Medicare, playing on the elderly, and preying on the Veterans Administration too. Man,
I agree with
ridiculous.
You. I agree with you. But at the same time, get everybody else too. That's all I'm saying. That's the only difference. I don't agree. I'm not agreeing with you.
We can go on and on about this. Right now we're about a half hour over there, Mac.
Okay. Well, I mean, but that's because the cop brings up good arguments. But to be honest with you, I'm kind of surprised that we have some agreement on some things, because I thought it was going to be like, nah, you might not get no agreement out of him for that. But I see at least he has more sense than some people I know, trust me. Because some people, they don't want nobody. I mean, they just be like, man, whatever. So, I mean, I have to give it to him. At least he does come in somewhat in line with what I do. He just agrees that, you know, if I'm making less, I should do it.
He agrees in a different way than you agree.
Right.
So.
No, actually, we agree on everything except the one point. And the one point is, don't waste your money on the small people. Use all the money on the big fish, and that's okay, that's fine. But according to what I believe is wrong is wrong. You can't overlook nobody.
You get a better bang for your buck going after the big fish versus the small fish.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, but I'm not gonna leave nobody out. You get a bigger bang for the big people. Great. But at the same time, I'm going after the little ones too.
Right. So me being the big fish, I'll put a whole bunch of little people in your face and have you distracted and tied up while I'm still making the multi-million dollars.
Not according to what you guys said. You guys said go after the big fish. So everybody knows who the big fish goes straight for. We don't have the verbal. We have a whole bunch of people. Go get them, but we go backtrack and go get everybody
but
else,
they
too.
See, but see, that's the problem, Mac. They can't
they're
get them.
They're not doing it.
They're not getting them.
No, and I agree
not
with you.
Them.
I agree with you.
Them.
I agree with you.
Them.
So I'm agreeing with you. You should. We should go get them. We should. But I'm not going to ignore the little people. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
If I'm gonna whoop my daughter's ass, I whooped all the people that was in between, all her relatives that was in between that was helping her. I'm not gonna get her because if I get her, I'll stop everything. Yeah, I know I would, but I'm gonna get everybody else. You know why? Because they was wrong. Period.
Mm-hmm.
You was participating too. You gonna get it too. But she did what she did, but you gonna get it too. So that's all I'm saying. We don't agree on that part, but you know. I'm glad McCown not the president. McCown's president, I'd move out of this damn country.
Oh, stop.
Get to moving. Get to moving. I'm running.
McCown
I'm
in 2016. Look, McCown
move.
In 2016, I'm doing everything I can to mess him up. I'm going to go on a Facebook marketing Twitter campaign. He's a drunk.
You won't have
He's
to.
Crazy.
You won't have to because I'll just be me. I'll be like the dude, the rent's too high. Shit, the rent's too damn high. Shit. Just like that, dude.
I bet you wouldn't refuse that salary and all them perks, would you?
Nah, I would refuse the salary. Yeah, I would refuse the salry. I mean,
man, I'm done.
Yeah, I would.
All right, it's time to end the show now.
Because it's too much money to be made afterwards.
So you think Obama should let go of his money?
Obama should do whatever is best for Obama. You know what I mean? But he'll tell you he ain't hurting. He ain't hurting. Soon as he became president, he became a millionaire. Slim.
Oh yeah, his net worth went. Yeah, it did. Sure did.
He wasn't walking around with holes in his shoes, and he wasn't driving that 300M no more that Michelle paid for. Yeah.
No, don't get it twisted. He wasn't that bad off in the Senate either. So don't get that one twisted. When he was a cop, he wasn't a millionaire.
He wasn't bad off.
I was gonna say, yeah, don't spin that sad side story because he wasn't. Because he was nice. He had some nice suits on. He wasn't sitting in there.
Yeah,
everybody
had
up in
some,
there making money.
He had some nice suits on.
And he wasn't looking
for
no meal
because he had gotten to the Senate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He had gotten to the
That's
Senate,
right.
and he had gotten on the scene, and more people started buying his book. So yeah, he made a little bit of money.
Right.
So I ain't got nothing against that.
Me neither.
Nothing against it at all.
I don't.
But
either.
The brother did walk around with holes in his shoes. Now, you can check that.
Yeah.
You can Google that.
Oh no, I know that when he wasn't a senator.
Right.
Right. But I mean, you know, unless you a Rothschild, unless you inherited some money, or you was born into it, everybody started off the same way. You got multi-millionaires, you got billionaires right now who was poor, holes in their shoes and stuff like that. But you know, the way society got it is everybody who's rich is mean, evil, got it by ill-gotten, illegal gain.
That's what you conservatives believe.
Well. That's what y'all are putting out there.
That's what you bubble boys believe.
Hey, it's time to get out of here.
All right, let's get out of here. McCall, I want to thank you for being on the show.
This show was wonderful because you are at the concert. I will be through tomorrow.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? When
no
you're
problem.
On the con and check out everything. You know, I just want to say how smooth this was tonight. And last night, you know, it wasn't, you know, last Friday wasn't smooth at all, you know, and the show on Saturday night, it wasn't
That's because
smooth
you
at all.
The show. That's why it wasn't
it was,
smooth.
It was all messy, you know what
it
I'm saying?
Like, it was lumpy like oatmeal.
You can't
you
get
got
in
on.
What you want to say, none of that stuff. You know, you got cocky dudes all want to talk and whatnot. But you know what, Jerry, when you come through, you know, you have this common effect, you know what I'm saying, and you're grown. And you're grown, sir.
Well,
so
I appreciate the love.
I respect that, sir.
Wow.
I appreciate that.
Mikhail, you need to go. Mikhail, when we get off this phone, man, you need to go wipe your nose. You need to wipe it off. For real. You need to wipe that joint. You need to wipe it. Because right now, you smell. You stink right now. Okay? I just want to let you know.
Oh, man.
Mikhail, thank you for being on the show. Can you tell them where they can reach you at on your show? Can you tell people real quick?
You could catch me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on Facebook as Grown Soul and Real Talk. That's facebook.com/grownsoul. Each and every Wednesday night, we get together and have some conversation, adult conversation. Check it out with 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Thanks, Mikhail. I appreciate it, Jerry. Been a good show as always. Thank you for bringing in the heathen. And we will see y'all next week. The brown nose heathen.
Bubble boy.
I'd rather be Bubble Boy than Bubble Boy.